Inspiring solutions to save America, one show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
They believe that they can destroy this bond that exists between you and Trump if they somehow make Trump look bad, make Trump look like a reprobate, embarrass you about Trump. They can't do it because you came before Trump. Desperately want Trump gone, and I know that they desperately want it codified that Trump cannot run again, because make no mistake, they remain scared to death of you, and they remain scared to death of Trump. Trump, 75 million, 80 million votes, and I'm going to tell you, you're not going anywhere. Even if Trump does, you're not. Which I think remains one of our big campaign strengths going forward. They can't separate you from Trump. And more importantly, they can't separate you from the ideas. They can't separate you from MAGA. They can't separate you from Make America Great Again.
From sea to shining sea, 3 hours of bold truth and excellence. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Welcome back, my friends. Hour number two of the Wendy Bell Radio Program. It is official. We are rocking and rolling. Welcome back. You know, this whole classified documents case against Donald Trump is farcical. All of these cases against Donald Trump have been farcical. And those of us paying attention know that. And it is so disgusting. There ought to be a job, a mission, an organization, a calling, a purpose, a cause, a something that is incorruptible. That is not able to be tarnished or molested or manipulated or bastardized or just ruined. Because these people have ruined everything. Everything they touch turns to garbage, whether it's education or it's science or it's the law. It's all garbage. And now, if you're not questioning everything, you're like 4 years too late. I can't listen anymore to anybody and not think about, well, what are your motives? Did you do your research? Why do you feel like that? I used to just be able to go through my life and be like, all right, it is what it is. It's not. Because they want you living in some manipulated dreamscape, some alternate universe. I want out of it. I'm done with High School Musical. The E. Jean Carroll case showed us everything we needed to know. He did not rape the woman. He did not know the woman. Well, oh well, I'm still gonna slap you with $90 million in fees and fines. Like that there are human beings who've been twisting away in prison for like 1,300 days. And the majority of our Congress just bebops through their day not even thinking about that. We don't have liberty and justice for all. We don't. We have it for some. It's not even liberty and justice. It's called permissible suck. So this classified documents case is as obnoxious as everything else. I think this is really everybody being butthurt about the binder. So we know from January 6th, actually, it was January 20th, 2020, when Donald Trump is leaving the White House, right? And Joe Biden is ostensibly being sworn in, though even that was weird. Donald Trump has Crossfire Hurricane. He has all the Russia stuff. He has all of the Christopher Steele nonsense. He has all of the facts of all of the players, including Obama and Clinton, including all of the people in the government, in the various alphabet agencies, basically out to destroy Donald Trump. he has it. He declassifies it. He gets binders printed. He gets all of these documents printed. He wants to do what he did with the Zelensky audio recording, right? Of the phone call he made with Zelensky that he got impeached over, which was, again, so ridiculous. This has been going on for far too long. And he was going to release this binder, right? And pants on fire. Holy cow. Get it, get it, get it. It's not all been redacted. Everybody realizes that their fate hangs in that binder and they can't find this one binder. Where did it go? Why do you think they raided Mar-a-Lago? They're looking for the documents that Donald Trump declassified that he has that proves everybody's involvement in making up one of the most obnoxious narratives of our lifetime, certainly mine. I mean, I was alive for Watergate, I believe, but not really. So this is the predicate to me about this classified documents case. Donald Trump did something so egregious. Now, Joe Biden has done it 7,000 times more. And so you would think, in realistic ways, that those should cancel each other out. If Bob Herr, the special counsel in the case, is going to say, hey, Joe Biden knew what he was doing, but he's demented and doesn't know where the hell he is and talks about wacko stuff like going to Morocco and you know, shooting a bow and arrow and children riding bareback and some guy losing his testicle and his penis. This is during Robert Herr's sit down with him talking about classified documents. If he's going to say, dude is corrupt, his balls, but I don't think somebody's going to convict him. I'm not sure he has the mental ability to stand trial and understand what the hell's going on. You can't do the same thing over here. You can't not exonerate Donald Trump. And I think that is ultimately what's going to happen. But yesterday, Judge Cannon in this classified documents case ruled that the unconstitutional vagueness claim by Trump's attorneys, the part of the Espionage Act, said no. So no, we're not gonna allow that to proceed. But there are a couple other things that should be ruled on, and hopefully today. Here's your story, Gateway Pundit. Judge Aileen Cannon on Thursday denied one of Trump's two motions debated today to dismiss the classified documents case. President Trump on Thursday appeared in federal court in Florida for a hearing on two motions to dismiss Jack Smith's classified documents case. One motion was based on Smith's unconstitutionally vague use of the Espionage Act. The other motion argued Trump is protected under the Presidential Records Act. A third motion, based on selective prosecution, which is the one we're watching, is still pending. So Trump's legal team last month filed several motions to dismiss these cases, the classified documents case, right? Smith indicted Trump 37 federal counts in Miami back in June, allegedly for lawfully storing presidential records at his Mar-a-Lago estate. He did do it lawfully, and they say he did it unlawfully. That he has broken the law. He has been indicted. He needs to be found criminally guilty for doing that. Now, this is a very interesting thing. Julie Kelly has weighed in on this, and you know she's been on this program multiple times. She's a reporter for Real Clear Investigations, and she says something that's very curious. She says the judge in this case, Judge Cannon, is aware of the double standard. You can't say that Bob Herr letting Joe Biden off the hook for clearly, willfully, knowingly holding how many boxes of top secret classified jazz. You can't let him get off of it. And over here, throw the book at Donald Trump, who declassified the documents when he was president and therefore lawfully took them with him to his private residence and said long ago, I hadn't had time to go through all this stuff. I was working on doing that, but I had just left office, essentially. Listen to Julie Kelly, because this is the important part of today.
There were a lot of people in the courthouse today, Jesse, including Special Counsel Jack Smith and former President Donald Trump, sitting in the same courtroom again for the second time in 2 weeks. But one individual who is not there nonetheless had a major presence, and that is former Special Counsel Robert Herr, who testified earlier this week about his findings related to the willful retention, Joe Biden's willful retention of national defense information, high-level classified documents, but nonetheless, unlike Donald Trump, will face no criminal charges. Both the defense and Judge Cannon repeatedly brought up this phrase, arbitrary enforcement. It is very clear that Judge Cannon is aware of the double standard, not just with Joe Biden, but former presidents Bill Clinton and Ronald Reagan, and more importantly, former vice presidents Hillary Clinton, Mike Pence, and of course, Joe Biden. My prediction, Jesse, and I make a lot of predictions on your show, she will not dismiss the two motions before her today, but she will, I believe it's very likely, the Judge Cannon will dismiss this case based on a pending motion on for selective prosecution. It's very clear she is aware of it. She's very upset about it, as you could tell from her comments and conduct today. So that motion is pending on the docket. A hearing has not yet been scheduled, but I would not be surprised if she dismisses this entire case based on selective and biased political prosecution against one man, Donald Trump.
You can't have two people charged with the same basic thing. One gets off, one gets the book thrown at them. Any parent out there knows you can't treat one child and hold them to one standard and then treat another child differently. That inconsistency creates terrible family strife. Well, the family that is known as the United States of America has strife. And we are awaiting this decision. Could it come in during this program? Yes. And I've got my best people on it. His name is Brock. Okay, when we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, this is another example of pushback working. Remember how the New York Fire Department was going to hunt down, they said, any of the firefighters who booed Letitia James of Suck? Well, enough people pushed back against that. Things are changing a little bit. I'll tell you about it next. So we are going to give you those stories that make you get frustrated and show you that the way things are in this country is not the right way. And I don't believe that is deniable. But the people who are pushing back, it's you. It's what I said at the beginning in the monologue. This is you. This is you calling the teacher. This is you going to the school board meeting. This is you standing up. This is you. Gateway Pundit headline FDNY, New York Fire Department, backs down on hunt for firefighters who booed Letitia James after a backlash. You know what? Bullies love to bully until someone punches back. Because most bullies are really insecure cowards. These aren't tough people. These aren't goons who have fought big wars and battles. These are people, and this is why a lot of women, particularly corporate women, suck. I'd work for a man any day before a woman. There's some weird that goes on there, some weird power complex, at least in the world that I've worked in media. They get off on being tyrants, right? Bullies do not like it when you punch back. And the people are punching, and it's working. Here's the story. FDNY leaders back down on their so-called hunt for firefighters who booed Marxist tyrant AG Letitia James after major backlash. Last week, a group of New York firefighters booed Letitia James as she gave a speech during a promotion ceremony. After honoring the fire department commissioner, Hack, a woman who's never fought a fire, guarantee you she's never walked upstairs carrying a hose, right? Her name's Laura Kavanaugh. Letitia James' speech was effectively drowned out by loud pro-Trump chants in the crowd. We played it for you last week. At least two Staten Island lawyers, this is hilarious, have stepped up now and offered help to the firefighters for free. Because according to leaked memos, any New York firefighter who booed Letitia James was going to be literally tracked down, punished, and facing some re-education. Who in the hell are you, Kavanaugh of Suck? Who are you? You're another bully, liberal woman, college-educated white woman who just is the worst. Period. We need to hunt these people down. if they don't step forward, let them know there's a video of them out there. We will find them and we will hold them accountable. So a Haitian migrant yesterday in a Massachusetts migrant shelter raped a 15-year-old disabled girl. Nobody's up in arms about that, but fire department officials or firefighters booing. Boo! Trump. Beyond the pale. Full stop. Track them down. Lock them up. Unacceptable. Sit down, Ms. Kavanaugh. Leaders of the New York City Fire Department have extinguished prospects for a hunt for rank and file members who jeered the Empire State's Attorney General when she took the stage at a ceremony. At no point has there been an investigation into members booing, an FDNY spokesperson said Wednesday, appearing to contradict reports of an internal email, which we got and we read, and so did a lot of other people, from brass that generated half a week of bad press for the department. Why do you think they want to kick TikTok off our devices? It's not because it's a threat to democracy. It's because they don't want you to have access to sites such as that, where such documents showing that there was a hunt to track down and re-educate people exercising that glorious thing that we all have called the First Amendment right to free speech. Pushback. Now, all of a sudden, I don't know what you're talking about. What? We would never do such a thing. Earl, get in there. Burn that document. Just like Zelensky, the burn pits. Metabiota, get rid of it now. Just like the January 6th Commission, when they erased all of the interviews, right? Just like all the visitor logs to the Penn Biden Center. Do away with it. Make it magic. Do you see? Isn't it so ridiculous once you start to see how preposterous this land is that we wrongly say is land of the free? Because you're not. You're not. Until people fight back to make sure you are. And that's exactly what's going on. Now, I'm super excited about this next half hour because we're going to have this fantastic pollster on. He's from the People's Pundit is what he's called. His name is Rich Barris. And there are some trends that we need to discuss in the electorate right now. We have some trends, voting trends, that I believe are really the catalyst of so much of these outrageous stories we read to you. They know that the window of opportunity to destroy this country from within is rapidly closing. And now it's an all-out free-for-all. Right? Bad policy, bad people doing bad things. Do not miss Rich Barris next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. Welcome back to the Wendy Bell Radio program. It's always a thrill to be with you and to bring one of our favorite guests on. His name is Rich Barris. He's known as the People's Pundit. He is a pollster. He is a master of numbers, of looking through the magic ball of the future. Rich, welcome back. Tell me, top line, the biggest thing in the last 24 hours that you've gleaned from any of your data, any of your polls.
Hey, Wendy. Thanks for having me back as always. I'll tell you, I go through this stuff, you know, painstakingly to make sure we're not looking at noise. And the black vote, Wendy, the black vote. I maybe suspect that we are overstating Trump's support with black voters just a little. That tends to happen a little bit with polling, but we never did in the past, you know. And the polling that we're seeing now was, you know, what's going on? It's black women also. Black men have kind of been doing this for a while. A little at a time, trending in the direction of Donald Trump and Republicans. And there is now a movement, a significant movement with black women. And even though they'll tell us it's inflation, it's cost of living, Wendy, it's immigration. They're pissed off all of these people are coming here, and they feel like they're being left behind and being ignored and basically cast to the side.
So now, how does one go about gleaning that? What kind of, where do you put out such a question? Where does that go, and how do you get those results?
Well, there's a couple of things that we do that's really worth talking about. I mean, we always ask people who they voted for in the past, what their vote history is. And yes, people tend to lie a little bit, but interestingly enough, in the polling we just did, we're actually really, really right on the money when it comes to how the actual vote went down the last presidential election. And then we'll ask them who they plan on voting for this time. And when it comes to issues, there's a series of questions that we ask. One is, what is your most important voting issue? And that's a single response, single issue response. We also ask them to rank stuff, though. And that's where, if you do a rank distribution, that's where you could really see some secondary issues are at the forefront of other people's minds. So even though someone may choose inflation, it doesn't mean immigration isn't super important to them. And then we ask them who they trust more to handle these issues. And that is really where everything is just illuminating. And you get any, Americans are funny. You'll get an earful from them, even if you don't want it.
Explain what that means.
So we just want the answer to their question, and we want, hopefully, to streamline it as much as possible. And when we give them a laundry list of issues to choose from, they tend, when they're really passionate and something's really going on, they tend, like, the answer is there, and they could just simply choose it. But instead, they opt to fill your ear with, yeah, I know inflation is there, and that, I guess, is my most important issue. But let me tell you how upset I am about immigration. And when I just, it pops right out at me. Black women just are so mad over this immigration issue. And I think what's been going on is that, like I said, we have seen a little chipping away in trend with black men. But black, you know, how social systems work, and you know, in not just this country, but we're political animals, and you know, if there are men who think they may want to vote for Trump or vote Republican, if they're going to get an earful from their wife, they're not really comfortable telling you. But once everyone starts to realize, you know, that there are a lot more people than they thought thinking the same thing and holding the same beliefs, then it tends to cascade after a while, and I think that's what we're starting to see now.
That is so. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I interrupted. Yeah, I was just going to say. And they're open about it, Wendy. They're being more open. Their willingness to talk about these issues and why they're changing their vote is something they want to express.
Do you see this connected to one capstone experience, or is it in general the idea that in the black community specifically, The jig is up, the con is over, their lives have not improved, and instead now they are being replaced?
Yeah, I read some research the other day, because we're all trying to figure this out, and I generally agree with it. I could have looked back in your state, Pennsylvania, for instance, and we did do this in 2020, and show people how it really, by age, you could see a dramatic difference in younger black voters than older black voters. And I think this happened over time and will continue to happen over time. But I think that somebody, and I don't want to, take his point away from him, but he's right. He was arguing basically that the younger vote, it's just the memories of the civil rights era is not there. It's white. And I agree. And I think he's right. And more to the point, I think Democrats believe that, because when they rehatch it every year, right? So what do they do every time black voters look like they're about to split away? They pull something. It's something. It's Fulton. It's Trayvon Martin. It's Ferguson. It's something that they bring up to try to re-dredge up these memories again, to rehash these memories. But this time, it's just not working on these younger voters. And by younger, I mean, you know, below 50, 45 and below is when it really starts to come out.
You know, I've seen a lot of social media, and this is so amazing that you're saying this, because the media have covered up so much of what's going on immigration wise. And there's just been this blanket over the reality of what's happening now in all of our cities and neighborhoods. But you see a man on the street interviews, like quick edits on TikTok or Twitter or whatever. And the young black males in particular, it's money, money, money. That's what they talk about. They talk about money. They talk about Trump giving them money. They had more money with Trump. They remember that. Are you getting that vibe too?
We are. I have this woman we polled Florida, and that just was released last night. We're polling everywhere all the time, but we're polling in Florida, and this is black African-American. She's in her 40s in Miami-Dade, and she was bringing up what they did to the black community in New York. And she was like, you know, soon, I bet you, Mayor Adams, what they did over there up in New York, they're going to do to us. Trump would never do this to us. He would, you know, under Trump, we had more money. He did things for us. He would never put them before us. So she stuck with me because she just articulated what everybody was basically saying. She just articulated very well.
Right.
So it stuck in mind. You know, that it's not even like they're in love with the guy. They just have this, I don't know, they just have this trust in him that he would never put, you know, illegal immigrants for, and they're not dumb either. They know it's for votes. Wendy, they know it's for votes. And they feel like they're being replaced.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. We were told, yeah, we were told great replacement theory. Don't say that. That's so racist. That's not going on. Hell yeah, it's what's going on. I want to know what you're seeing in terms of Trump, in terms of national polling on him in some of the swing states. Are you seeing, like, I just saw something that he's only up by 2 points nationally. And I was like, wait, what? You cannot tell me that Joe Biden is destroying this country and Donald Trump is only up by 1 or 2.
Yeah, we have him up by a little bit more than 2. But I would tell people that the Electoral College favors Republicans in general, and it favors Donald Trump specifically because white working class and other working class, and that's the key to this coalition he's building now, is that it's not just white working class. It is also non-white. And that gives him a much bigger edge in the Electoral College. So if he's winning you know, nationally by 2, then we would expect him to carry Georgia and Arizona by about 6 points. I mean, that's how much more to the right some of these states are than the nation overall. In Pennsylvania, you would expect him to be ahead by 3, you know, which would be a solid win. And that's pretty much where the polls have it right now. Even Quinnipiac, which is notoriously a horrible left-leaning pollster. I'm sorry, I don't like to criticize peers often, but they deserve it. Especially in presidential elections, they're just awful at this one day. But in the Trump era particularly, they are awful. And they've overstated Biden and Clinton terribly. I mean, outside the sampling era. Even they have Trump up in Michigan by 3. We have him up a little bit more. He's up by about 4 in our poll in Michigan. But there's not a single battleground state at this point where Donald Trump's not up. It's a matter of what are we going to consider in the next, you know, 7-8 months, what are we going to consider a battleground state? In Maine, there was a poll that came out recently, and we've polled Maine before. It's difficult, but it's a perfect example of how this change in coalition can shift the state. Even in Maine, not the second district, the entire state, he was up. So we're going to do Georgia next, which will be interesting, because when we're talking about this coalition, you have a huge chunk of the electorate, which is exactly that kind of voter we're seeing in national polls shift to Trump, especially the, you know, younger African Americans, you know, with or without a college degree, if they're men. But if they're women without a college degree, that's what we're going to be looking for.
Do you still see the disparities in education? Is there a diploma divide, if you will, that supersedes race or age or anything else? What do you think?
There is, and this is interesting. We take Florida, for instance. We did this a little differently this time, which I love. I get nerdy over this stuff, but we did education and, you know, education detail, which means we drill down more specifically on their education level. And then we also did white and non-white with and without a college degree, and then even that by gender. And what we found is that if you were non-white with a college degree, you voted for Biden in huge numbers last time, and by huge, I mean 30-plus points. Yet now, Biden's only ahead by like 15 with that group. With those who don't have a college education, they voted for Biden by a similar margin, Wendy, but Trump actually leads Biden with that group now. So there is that divide. It's still there, but he's doing better with people who do have a four-year degree. So it's not what it was in 2020. And frankly, he doesn't even need to win those people. He just needs to tighten it a little bit, which he's doing, which he's done. Because with these other voters that are shifting, again, when it comes to the Electoral College, they have an outside say. And it's going to be very difficult for Biden to hold a state like Michigan or even Pennsylvania, for that matter. It would be difficult for him to hold that. Either one.
What do you think it would take to convince the white college educated suburban, you know, wine drinking soccer mom?
I'm not sure anything beyond economics right now is going to, you know, is going to convince them in large numbers. That's more of a mid to long term problem for the Republican Party. I really do believe that. You know, back in 2004, they were national security moms. They did vote for George Bush, but something happened, and that was the financial crisis, and it really hurt even some of the more wealthy, educated white women in this country. It really hurt minorities as well. But until they feel the pain that other people are feeling, it's going to, or there's some cataclysmic event like that, an economic event like that, their vote preference is probably going to be a little bit harder to budge than some of these other groups. We have had, Wendy, I have had white educated women from the suburbs tell me that they don't care about inflation. They can afford it. They don't care about their fellow Americans struggling. It's disgusting, frankly. You have to hear it, take their opinion, and move on, because you can't obviously, you know, rebut anything they're saying. It's not your job.
Right.
But the stuff I heard would blow, I think smoke would be coming out of people's ears if we relate some of these conversations to them.
You know, you made an interesting post online about TikTok, the band's red flag. I want to ask you about that after the break. You have time to hang?
Absolutely.
All right. We're live with the People's Pundit. His name is Rich Barris. He's outstanding, and he comes back right after this on the Wendy Bell Radio program. Welcome back to the Wendy Bell Radio program. We are joined by Rich Barris. He is a pollster, the People's Pundit. He goes by, he does this wonderful thing where he finds out the pulse of the people of this country. And Rich, I noticed something. You wrote something about the TikTok ban's red flag, that it is not what it seems like it is. And I find this is very interesting coming from you. What did you mean?
Yeah, you know, I feel like it's so very reminiscent of the Patriot Act. And, you know, I myself, Wendy, to be perfectly honest, you know, full disclosure here, you know, I bought into that stuff, a lot of that stuff after 9/11. And the fact of the matter is, you know, these, when you hear these like slippery slope arguments, they usually come to fruition. And I find it funny. I've read the bill. I'm not a lawyer, but, you know, I read the bill. I read the language of the bill. It's very circular with how they define foreign adversaries. The president has a lot of discretion in getting someone designated as one. Even as people understand the ownership of TikTok, even that is pretty crafty in how they decide who is, you know, part of it. They're making it out, put this simply, they're making it out like they're targeting nation states that own these companies. And that's just not how these companies are structured. And it's not how the bill is written. The term foreign adversary is very, very circular and could be applied to a singular person if they decide that you are, you know, if they decide that you're saying things that are in the best interest, perhaps, of another country. I mean, it's an argument. Maybe you don't like the war in Ukraine. You know, they could easily label you an agent of Russia. You may not be. In any event, I find it really, really ironic, and it's a red flag to me that the same people who pushed patriotism and these same, like, you know, platitude arguments to pass the Patriot Act, to support the Patriot Act and other huge mistakes, are now the ones supporting this TikTok ban.
Right.
You know, the Brian Kilmeade, you know, not to name anybody to criticize him, but it's just true.
Oh, we can criticize him. He sucks. And,
Yeah. I mean, same people, Wendy, same people.
Right. Well, I find it so interesting because this whole thing is to silence those of us who find alternate spaces to communicate, because the mainstream media is so damned down the toilet bowl that you can't get anything real out of it. That's what this is all about, yes or no?
Absolutely. Why is there all of a sudden widespread bipartisanship, right? Anytime that happens, people should always be skeptical. You know, these parties can't agree on how to put together a comprehensive budget. They can't. In fact, I read a Talking Points memo the other day about the budget where the consultants that they're listening to misspelled the word budget.
Okay.
All right. So, I know. So it's any time I see them, you know, rally behind a cause like this, it usually means the middle man and woman in this country are about to get it, you know what.
Right.
And that's what's happening here. This is to shut up people like you and I.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
So judging from the people that you speak with and the polling that you do, is there anything Joe Biden can do to salvage his reelection?
That's a great question. I think events would have to help Joe Biden. Foreign policy can't, you know, save a president, but it could hurt them. So that's out. Never has there really been, you know, a foreign policy success that saved someone. George Herbert Walker Bush made that mistake against Bill Clinton. The economy would have to be running on all four cylinders. And I don't mean initial jobs reports that look better and then, you know, for 11 out of 12 months on a rolling average, they're revised down considerably every month. People feel that that's not true. They know that the government is padding the data. It would need to get much better because, Wendy, the major problem he has is that the memory is fresh from Donald Trump and his tenure.
Bingo.
And it's too easy to do an A-B comparison. It's too easy. And they also think that he is not competent, which is why you're seeing Biden attempt, you know, his war rooms out there on social media every day, trying to make Donald Trump also look like he's got, you know, mental cognitive issues and that he's in some sort of decline. They're trying to basically, you know, they're trying to fight that issue to a draw, or at least draw some people into it so they don't, you know, make their decision based solely off of Biden's mental state, because he's really lost the faith of the people to do the job. They don't think he's really capable of doing it anymore, whether they like him or not. Even a lot of Democrats tell us that they don't believe he's mentally fit to serve. So that it would have to be some event that's, you know, I really do believe at this point is out of Joe Biden's control.
You know, Rush Limbaugh used to call them low information voters, right?
Yep.
And the drive-by media. Do you feel that the people you are polling who communicate with you are aware, keenly aware of what's going on, or are they swayed by what they see on social media?
Yeah, there's a framework. I always tell people that Americans aren't dumb, but they are really busy. And they have this framework in their mind about how they see things. They may not know every detail about the cases against Donald Trump, but they have a framework idea of it, and they draw those conclusions. And for the good of the better, for the former president, they drew the conclusion already that's politically motivated. But especially with independents, they're not 100% dialed in yet, but we're in a different age. It used to be every pollster would shift to a likely voter model after Labor Day because that's when people paid attention more and that's when people focus. But we're in the age of information now. People can go on Twitter, they can go on Facebook, they can go on your radio show, they can go on a YouTube channel and, you know, look at their favorite person or hear clips that somebody sent them and texted them. So there's a certain level of engagement that they're always in, but they're still at a point, and so Suffolk University, their national poll, found this perfectly. You know, 80% of independents just don't care about Donald Trump's cases. All they care about is how well this economy is or is not. They don't care.
Right. I think that speaks volumes. I absolutely adore you. Rich Barris, he is from Big Data Polling, People's Pundit. I love you. Thank you for your time, sir. Have a great weekend.
Anytime, Wendy.
Take good care. National security expert John Guandolo is coming up next. There's a huge disconnect and distrust among conservatives in the FBI. Why would that be? Well, let's talk to a former agent, shall we? Next.